Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Hey, this is John Thorne, owner of Absolute Tennis Wrestling, and you are listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got the Bad Boys here with me via Skype. This is your post-WrestleMania show, so we got an exciting time to talk about everything. Sin City Steve, what's up?
You on? Sounds about right for Steve.
You're on mute, Sin City Steve.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Awesome. That is completely par for the course. Fuck. Yeah. Anyway, no. Amazing WrestleMania tonight. We'll get into it, but how you guys doing? You guys doing all right?
We're good, man. We all hanging in there. Simon Street, what up?
So, what's my wife's name again? Come on, you know her name. Say her name again. Now, how y'all doing? How y'all doing?
Good. King Lucky, what's up?
A.K.A. Smarcavelli. I am doing well. I'm not having a silence match like El Stevo over there, but I'm doing well.
All right. And Matt Michaels, what up, man?
You know, just whatever those guys just said.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we finally got to it, guys. It finally happened, you know. A night at WrestleMania, a night where I think I've made maybe 15 or 16 of those shows straight. I found myself, like everyone else, enjoying it in your own home. Well, let's talk about what we've seen. And I guess out of the gate, we're going to talk about what was your favorite match. Now, I'm going to ask you guys this because I'm pretty sure this is going to be very tough. I can probably narrow it down myself to one match for both nights, but I feel you guys won't be able to do that. You're probably going to have one for each night. So if you want to do that, that's fine. I'm asking your favorite. I'll also ask you your least favorite. And then overall, at the very end, we'll start give the overall sort of grade you give of the show. All right, so let's start. Let's talk about our favorite match of either night, or you know, if you want to just make it combine into one night. King Lucky, I'm gonna start with you, King of Smarkville. What would be your favorite match?
Without question, night one. I'm going to definitely go with the Boneyard match. That match had so much flavor in it. Get it? Bone, flavor, whatever.
Oh, wow.
But that match was so good. The things that they were able to pull off, the little small just nuances of everything, the cinematography, it was very, very good. It was clearly the one thing that had social media on fire. And I thought it was great with the way the Undertaker just left off and rolled out on the bike. I mean, it was awesome. And then my favorite match of night two, you know what? I'm going to have to go with the match that started the show. I really thought Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley fucking tore the house down.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that I know questioned whether that should be the first match, but Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, they really put on a clinic and, you know,
yeah.
I'm usually not a fan of Charlotte winning every belt, but this tonight made sense because now you can have Charlotte Flair go to NXT and also bring along other women. So those are my two favorite.
Is that about bringing over other women, or do you think that was about just maybe bringing over more fans against AEW?
I mean, it could be a little bit of both. You know, you need more star power to stack the deck. But I also think that, you know, they've always had that champion. Rhea is a little young to kind of, you know, bring other wrestlers along. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you had Bayley there. You had Shayna there that were long mainstays. And now I think with Charlotte, she will help elevate the talent. You know, and not only that, but she'll have other feuds or other matches, as to say, with Rhea Ripley that will bring Rhea Ripley's stock way up, which it was already up tonight, and I thought she did great.
Sin City Steve, what would you say your favorite matches were?
All right, man. So night one, obviously, you know, Lucky went into detail on the Boneyard match. Mm-hmm. I would agree that is, you know, that was the centerpiece of night one, of course. But another match that really surprised me, that was very, very, very good was, KO and Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. And I think both guys really, you know, they busted their asses, man. And Owens taking the dive from on top of the WrestleMania sign, that is definitely his WrestleMania moment. And then tonight, honestly, dude, the Funhouse match was, I posted to social media that it was more so of like watching a short film. Mm-hmm. It definitely wasn't a wrestling match, just like how the Boneyard match wasn't the night before. But this, the way that everything was edited, the way that everything was shot, it was absolutely brilliant, and mm-hmm. Best thing on the entire show for me.
Okay. Let's go with you, Simon Street. Favorite matches?
I would say for night one, the one match that I really, really, I felt like it was a bit of a sleeper, and that's going to be the SmackDown Tag Championship. I felt that it was really good. It was steady pace. I like how they went about it a little bit differently. They only had one member from each team go through. A lot of the banter back and forth, of course, that was the constant staple of not only this WrestleMania, but any other show that's happened in an empty performance center, which I hope everybody appreciated. So that would be for night one. And then night two, I'm going to go along with exactly what Sin City Steve said. The Funhouse match or showcase, whatever you want to call it, was a work of art. Mm-hmm. Was a complete work of art. To the point to where I hope they take advantage of that, because I myself, and maybe Impact and Michaels can go back and look in the recent shows, I said that this is what needed to happen to John Cena via The Fiend. I hope that they take advantage of it. I hope that John Cena comes out the other end as something totally different. It was just well-crafted, put together from start to finish. I mean, I had my son in the background saying, this isn't really good in the beginning part. And I'm like, what the heck am I watching? And then right toward the middle, I'm like, this is amazing. And my son didn't say nothing at all. He was just looked the whole thing. Anyways, besides the fact, that was the best thing that I for night two was that.
All right. Over to you, Matt Michaels.
I think night one, you hit all three of them. So you could take your choice from any of those three. Mm-hmm. And night two, I think that Firefly did steal the show, because whether or not you liked it or disliked it, you're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not something that anyone has seen done before to that extent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that if you want to talk wrestling matches, I think Rhea and Charlotte definitely were on par for, you know, just beating the shit out of each other. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And you had the same Seth and KO, you know, like was mentioned. I mean, the ladder match was great. It sort of comes down to is, you know, the overall would have been, what, 5.5 hour show about?
Yeah.
No, 6.5 hours. 6.5 hours, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, you know, is it one of those things where would it be messed with in terms of you can't do the arena shows, you know, a Saturday and a Sunday. Mm-hmm. There's no way, because the stadium is just, you know, you're going to be, unless you are doing it and, you know, start putting your paychecks away forever. If they basically, you bought a ticket, you got both nights.
Right. Yeah.
And if they do that, then you're going to be paying three times the price of what you're paying now.
Right. So, yeah.
But I think that it showed that you could do a, you know, a great show that is watchable in an empty arena, which is hard to do.
Right.
And still have, you know, a great product. And people are going to shit on it, of course.
Yeah.
They're going to hold it against them that they were wrong for doing it. The spectacle, does it really matter? The whole idea of WrestleMania is about the wrestling, right? So does the show deliver? It delivered. Worst match? Who did Lashley wrestle?
It was Aleister, right?
Aleister Black.
Oh, yeah. 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 That was not worth the shit.
Well, let's now go. Well, thanks for that. Let's go back around and you tell me what match you didn't like. Go, King Lucky.
You know, I don't, I guess, not that I didn't like it, I just thought that they didn't give it enough time, was the Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler match that they had built for, you know, the good part of a couple of months, and, you know, it just fell flat to me. They didn't give it enough time.
The audience was not into it at all.
Well, I mean, completely different, right? You had the Rhea Ripley and Charlotte match that was outstanding, but you had this match.
And but yet the audience was still not responsive.
Yeah, but I think if I had to pick one, that would be the one, you know, to go with.
Yeah. What do you think, Sin City?
Well, I for night one, I really would have to go and say, and actually ask why this match even happened, but King Corbin and Elias.
Mm.
I mean, you know, they were going into the show, they were going into SmackDown, you know, portraying that Elias was, you know, not going to be able to participate, then they ran the angle, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, this match, realistically, why was it even on the main show? Personally, I felt like as if they could have taken a chunk out of this match as far as time and given it to the Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn match, which was much too short. Night two, I mean, realistically, out of everything, they hit a home run tonight, as far as I'm concerned, with all of the things that they had to work around and change and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, I mean, the antics with the 24/7 championship. I mean, at this point, you know,
oh,
just get fucking rid of it.
Come on, dude.
Look, Michaels, I know that it's the only championship that you're ever going to hold in WWE, so it holds a special place in your heart.
Yeah, but it's still one more than you.
I know. I'm well aware, man.
Oh man! All right.
So no. He had to go and be vocal about it. So
right, yeah.
Go on. Why don't you talk about why you're shit canning my point?
Because it's a piece of comedy, dude. It's something to break up the fucking show a little bit. It's not like they went out there and did a fucking 30-minute match for the fucking title.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank God they didn't. Do you want your 2 minutes back? Sorry, you had to sit through 2 minutes. The fucking 5-hour energy drink commercials were longer than the 24/7 shit. Come on, dude.
So let it be known that the reason the thing that I picked for tonight was by far the shortest segment. So that should tell you my overall opinion of the event tonight, but also the event as a whole. So there's that.
Yeah. Simon Street, which one was your least favorite?
You know what? There's just so many to choose from.
Wow.
I mean, when I say there's so many to choose from, I mean, on one night, I just kind of felt like they did what they had to. But I'm going to say night one, I don't know, man, this is a couple of them that I don't want to give. All right, well, I'll just say, so night one, I wasn't particularly excited that Braun Strowman won the Universal Championship. I don't know if I'm the only person in the world that feels that way. I felt like at the end of it all, I was like, that's cute. And that's how I felt. And
so what were you going to do? Keep the belt on Goldberg then?
I mean, we knew, but I think that's part of the problem. I think I knew that that was going to happen.
So what the fuck did you expect then?
Well, and that's why I took a long time, because I want to pick a better, worse one than that. Do you see what I'm saying?
But yeah, I just Aleister Black versus Bobby Lashley for no reason.
That was night two. We're talking about night one.
Oh.
We're talking about night one.
I thought it happened both nights.
The only reason why I didn't pick for night one, King Corbin versus Elias, had more to do with the fact that I enjoyed seeing Elias get some payback, and we don't get to see him go high octane like that. At least I don't. So that's why I had to pick the Braun Strowman versus Goldberg as worst night match, night one. Mm-hmm. Night two,
yes.
I will agree with Michaels, although he feels that it deja vu happened twice. Yes, the Bobby Lashley versus Aleister Black, and more towards just what the fuck with the booking with that? Like I just don't understand where that came from. Was that a filler? Was that a last minute decision? We may never know. But well, just about as
they wanted
as the match. Go ahead.
They wanted WrestleMania checks too.
Oh, I get that, but at the end of the day, who shouldn't get the check, who should have their check revoked, is Lana telling, hey, just want to let you know, spear him. Hey, I lost your back. Have enough time to go ahead and recover and totally hit him with the black mask. I just thought it was the dumbest shit ever. Anyways, you can move on from me. That's what I have.
All right. So what would be your overall thoughts on the show, if you had to grade it, what you really liked, or you know, overall, just about everything about the show that just really, really just kind of stood out from a good or bad, like give it your overall grade. And by the way, did you guys know that Michael Cole was really, really that loud when they do playback, and you hear him, you hear his voice throughout the small event center, you're going, man, he's really loud. I mean, I don't know if I was wrestling, if that would bother me or not, you know, because you don't hear that, you know, when you're in the big arena. But I mean, he was just calling.
Well, did you notice? I know it happened on night one, But night two, Bailey, when she was tossed out of the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She actually said to him, like, you know, whatever the thing was, she responded, like, that's how loud he is.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But I'll start with you, King Lucky. You know, let's pretend now, you know, you're the Meltzer now, and you're going to grate this bad boy, and give just your final thoughts about Mania and what you really liked or disliked, period. What's your grade, man?
Well, of course, Smarcovelli is gonna get slashed on this one. But
okay.
I gave the show overall an A+.
A+, Jesus.
A+, and the reason why I gave it an A+ is because they did creative things with what they had, and they were able to deliver. And even though night one, you know, was a little bit slower and things like that. Overall, I think its totality, the show was very good. And I didn't have an issue with Aleister Black versus Bobby Lashley. I thought that match was actually very good.
Hmm.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, it may have been unnecessary, and there may not have been a story behind it, but I thought both guys looked good in that match.
Wow, man. A+.
Yep, and I'm standing on it.
Let me ask you this. What would you give WrestleMania 31?
31, without questions, one of the best WrestleManias.
So what grade would you give it?
It'd be an A+ too.
And you're saying that they're combined. In terms of how you enjoyed the show.
And how I enjoyed the show, I would certainly give it an A+.
Okay. Well, thank you. Sin City, Steve, everybody want to know, what are you grading the product? You can be very difficult because you're an AEW guy, so I'm really interested in your thoughts and what you're grading and how you're grading.
I'll be real with you, man. I'm not going to go as hardcore as the King of Smarksville over there.
Yeah.
But, no, realistically, I would say that this show is a high B+ for me.
Okay.
They're for what really, really helps it is that there wasn't anything overly just glaringly obviously bad outside of, you know, the Corbin stuff and, you know, that kind of thing. But that, Jesus, man, great show by WWE. Yeah, I was thoroughly sports entertained the last two nights.
Yeah. B+, Simon Street, what's your grade, man?
You know what? I will say between an A being the top and an F being fuck horrible, I will give this WrestleMania a B. Just straight B, not B minus, not B plus, just a B. I'm very proud of the WWE and how they kind of utilized what they had. I think that they kind of, if they're smart and they don't do what they normally do and fuck up a good thing with a lot of these vignettes, these overpriced vignettes. I know we can't do that for another WrestleMania or we could maybe. But doing that more part of the show. Mm-hmm. And because of that, because of the Boneyard match with AJ Styles and The Undertaker, and with what we saw with John Cena and The Fiend, yeah, I will say a B. I was very inspired and liked what I saw.
All right. Matt Michaels.
A++.
A++.
Yep.
Any reason why you want to support that A++? I mean, that's a higher grade than what they're giving over in Smarksville, and that's not like you.
Well, you know, it just comes down to this. The fact of the matter is that it was wrestling in its purest form, which is as television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not playing. They didn't have to play to the crowd, to the audience. You know, and
it's hard when you, you know, don't have what you're used to help you feel what the crowd is giving you, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, what they did also during all the circumstances of how this was done during the time of having the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Then you got to give, you know, credit to them being able to put on a show that actually was good enough to be called a WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And that there were worse WrestleManias, like one right here in Las Vegas. So, you know, you just have to be, you know, honest on that.
Wasn't that, that was JR that came out on a camel that was back, right? Was that it?
No, no, Heaton, Bobby was the one.
Bobby, right? Came out. That's yeah. Right. It was Bobby. Yeah, okay.
Jim Ross was in his toga.
Toga. Yep. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was so, that was Taker and Giant, right?
And the Giant, yeah, when yeah. The chloroform oh, on Taker.
Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, that I think that's just kind of what it comes down to is
yeah.
That overall it was a superb show. And this could be something that has an influence on, you know, some product where you will see more production from the, you know, thinking out process. The problem is that it takes long to kind of shoot these things, especially if you're on the road doing house shows. You need the talent. And so you got to pull them from the house shows. You got to get camera guys. You got to get wherever you're shooting it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot there.
True.
But, you know, you got to also be able to plan out the match, you know, the arc of the story.
Yeah.
Months before, which they have a problem doing. So, but it would be fun to see more of that.
I want to ask you all, and you could take some time to think about this right quick before I call on you, King Lucky. Of course, you'll be first up. I'm curious what storyline in this year's WrestleMania did you enjoy the build up to this moment? I know there's a lot of storylines, but there had to be something that really stood out to you that you were like, yeah, this told a great story from the time it started to how it concluded tonight. And you were quite pleased with the story. This is just the storyline. So let me start with you, King Lucky. What would you say was the great build-up, starting from whenever it started up till tonight, that gave it a great beginning and a great finish?
Jeez. You know what? It's tough because you have a couple that are really good. Like, you have the Bray Wyatt and Cena. You have, you know, this Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. You have Edge and Randy Orton, but I'm going to go back to the women on this one. I'm going to go back to Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley.
Okay.
I thought that match had a massive payoff for the build and then the finish of the match. Mm-hmm. So that would be the one that I would pick.
You mean you didn't go with Lacey Evans winning the championship?
By the way, I thought she should have won the championship.
Say that again?
By the way, I thought she should have won the championship.
Oh, you thought she should have. Okay. Okay. So they got the story wrong, storyline wrong on that match. As far as you're concerned.
Yeah, there okay. was no story.
There is no story. All right. Sin City.
Funhouse match. Honestly, it's one of those things where I love Bray's character. And yeah. I've been a Bray mark since he came back as the cult leader initially, and you know, seeing the events of Mania 6 years ago, mm-hmm. when at that point, you know, I mean, for the love of God, I even cosplayed as Bray Wyatt to WrestleMania 30, and you know,
yeah.
it was one of those things that, you know, to see
to see the wrongs righted, if you will, the way that they were. And they showed that finally cohesion can exist, that you can, you know, go back to certain storylines, have callbacks from everything that was done. I think it was masterfully done. Mm-hmm. Great work to the editors and everyone involved on the production team for the Funhouse match. I can't say enough about it. The match itself was amazing. The build was great. Mm-hmm. But the match did the storytelling throughout the entire thing. So, you know, there wasn't very much in the way of external build, but the match told the story.
Would you have chosen what you saw tonight, or would you rather have seen a match between the two of them in the ring, or an actual match?
I mean, ultimately, it comes down to what's being adopted by WWE canon. If they're adopting it into canon that Bray did defeat John Cena at WrestleMania, and they, you know, continually make a point of mentioning that, and they treat it like a standard match, then fine. Mm-hmm. It was enough for me as a fan. I'm not going to be one to say that, you know, everything has to constantly take place, you know, in a ring with, you know, four sides of three ring ropes apiece. I mean, come on, man. Like, you can tell your stories in other engaging ways. WWE proved it last night and tonight. And just as long as if they don't do this for every match, you know, if they start to abandon the ring entirely, that's when we have a problem. But save this for your spectacle matches, your very, very high-end matches, your supernatural aspect type matches. Keep kayfabe alive if you can in some way, shape, or form. It's genius.
I'm gonna go over to you, Simon Street, but I'm gonna just ask you all right quick. So, of course, before, I mean, they were forced to do what they're doing now. They tried to do different things to kind of give these effects of building someone's character. If you remember, Bray Wyatt had that match. I forgot who it was against, but he had that match, and they had sort of that screen that was displaying on the ring, and it was like bugs and all of that. You remember that?
Yeah, the House of Horrors.
House match of Horrors, right?
The whole feud with Randy Orton.
That was Orton. That's what I thought. Okay. So why did? Oh, getting some feedback on that one. Why did that got so much shit from people? Like, people really seemed like they hated that entire idea. And again, it's a point of storytelling, but they had to do what they could do with a live audience. And I mean, I didn't think of that being as horrible, but it's just amazing that when they do what they did tonight, which everyone is praising, and when they try to do what they can with a live audience using what they have, it gets shits on. I mean, do you see where, you know, why would that be? Why not give praise to what the type of things they've been doing with Bray? Even the one match they did with Seth, and they did with the red lights, which got shitted on. Like, everything they've done with Bray that they've tried with live audience, everyone, you know, for the exception of when he comes out, they shit on. But, of course, is this more of his character, just more for maybe cinematic more than it should be for a live presentation? I mean, what would guys think on that?
I'll go ahead and go.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, like, so it all comes down to the way that it's shot, the finished product, the way that everything came across tonight is, and maybe if I go back and I watch the, you know, the House of Horrors match and all this kind of stuff again, that, you know, my opinion on it might change. But at the time, I did not like what they did. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming off of it thinking, okay, that was extremely cheesy. This, for whatever, you know, whatever filters that they did or did not have to go through with this, this did not come across cheesy to me whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And it, but that's just me, you know, I'm only one person. But I, all that I can say is that I was happy with what they did tonight.
Okay.
You got to remember too, when they did the House of Horrors match, mm-hmm. that was after, TNA did the Matt Hardy compound, the Hardys compound.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people were down on that because of the fact it wasn't as good as TNA one. So, you know, that has a little bit of factor there. And then the second thing is not everyone is praising it.
Oh, okay.
There's a split from what I'm seeing of people who liked it and people just not liking it. Just, okay. What is this? Yeah.
All right. Let's jump over to Simon Street. Tell us what storyline did you like, man, from the beginning all the way to how it concluded tonight.
You talking about, you know, for both nights, or are we just still talking about
No, just pick a match that you enjoyed, that storyline.
I guess we're going to just be talking about the Funhouse, because that's the only thing that's been on my mind, just to be completely honest with you.
And Steve briefly talked about it, there wasn't tons of build-up outside of maybe a couple of weeks. I mean, was there anything else that stood out, you know, that led up? Like, I'll give it, like, I haven't said much about the show. I like the Otis and the Dolph storyline. The whole thing with that particular storyline from the time that they started with Mandy and all, I've enjoyed it, you know, and, you know, tonight, although, you know, JBL just made all types of just mean jokes to Otis and calling PETA. Oh my Lord. He got a chance. He got the girl at the end. He kissed the girl. Great fairy tale at the end. I enjoyed it from the time that they started that whole storyline, which I didn't know where they was kind of going to go all the way to. I mean, up to the point of now, you know, we don't know who this mystery quotation marks guy is, who's now, you know, telling the truth.
You mean Ali?
He's a mystery to me. I don't know. I don't know who that is. I don't know if that's Ali. I don't know who that is, but even that, I mean, all of that, I think from that time to this made a great storyline and a great conclusion. So that's with me. So I'm just asking, and you can stick with the Bray if you want, but was there anything from since it started to now, you was like, wow, I love how it started and the, and how it, you know, how it ended from tonight's show.
Well, I will say this then, I will say two matches. One to where I'm like, what the fuck do we do now? And then the other one is, okay, what happens from here? So with what the fuck do we do now? What do we do with Becky now? And maybe it's just me, and maybe I'm just being a little bit too harsh. I think it's time to have Becky take a rest.
Mm.
I just feel that, because I feel like until you come up with a better opponent, you're running her through the ground. So all the build that she's had, all of the accolades, everything—it's now to where I feel like they're finding things to bring out to make her viable. That's just me. I feel like they're trying too hard now, and I think her having a break would be good. I think it would be really good. Mm-hmm. Now, the other match that I mentioned was, where do we go from here? Is obviously Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, and let's not pretend like we're not surprised that happened the way it was. But I'm happy it did, because now we have Charlotte will be on NXT. What does that look like? Is her presence being there, what kind of shakeup are they going to have? I know they've already picked or they're going to have somebody that's going to be facing her coming up, you know. But what happens from there? Is she going to stay in NXT for as long as she has the belt? Or is she going to stay in NXT whether she has the belt or not? you know, to me, that is something that I look forward to seeing on the NXT brand as weeks go out and whatnot. It's a good look for the NXT brand as far as I'm concerned with the already established success that they have.
Okay. All right. All right. Matt Michaels, what storyline did you enjoy from its beginning to end?
Goldberg versus Strowman.
I should have known he was going to choose that.
I think what they did there was just, I mean, you can't do any better than that. Perfect story.
Oh, man.
But the real winner of storyline is coronavirus.
Coronavirus?
Mm-hmm.
Explain.
Yeah. Well, you got to figure without it, none of this would have turned out the way it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. That's the biggest thing in terms of a storyline that you could have dealt with. And, you know, we can look at the small picture and look at, you know, individual storylines. Or you can look at the big picture and go, this is something that you never see. And you're, you know, hopefully we're not going to have to see this kind of stuff in the future.
Right.
And that is literally, you know, how the course of essentially 4 weeks changed one of the biggest events every year in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, at first, you know, it was kind of looked upon as if it was like, you know, the gobbledygooker.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of looked at it and you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculously stupid. You know, now it's a full out heel. You know, who knew it could cut such a promo and be so devastating in the ring.
Okay.
So we got to rise up, man. We got to take down coronavirus.
You know what? I will second that, Michaels. I think that for everybody, not just with wrestling entertainment, I think just in general for all of us, it was a very good sober wake-up call for us to kind of realize more about ourselves, having to, you know, be forced to quarantine or having to look at, okay, ration food. Because there's been a lot of people that have talked a lot of shit and done a lot of shit over the years of, oh, the apocalypse is coming. Let me get so much water. Let me build me a bunker inside of the ground, you know, for me and my five wives, you know, and all this crazy shit. But now that it actually hit the ceiling fan, it's a way for us to identify who the fuck we really are. Do you see what I'm saying? What are you about? You know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be serious. It could just be serious shit like, being in your goddamn house 24/7, you know what I mean? Or having to go to work, realizing that you're only of maybe 20% to 25% of the people you know that's going to work. You know, it's just some weird shit, you know what I mean? That, you know, like Michael said, it will be something that, you know, coronavirus came out like the gobbledygooker. And motherfuckers didn't take it seriously, and that motherfucker went gobble, gobble, gobble. And when it's over, we gonna all be thanks given for everybody. Myself, I'm gonna find the most beautiful woman I can find that's not attached to some man. I just wanna give her a hug. I just wanna give her a hug. Nothing sexual. I just wanna give her a hug because it's something that I can't do right now.
Yeah, I was kidding. The real answer is Seth versus KO.
Oh, man.
I guess I fell for that.
I knew the answer was going to eventually come out, so we just had to wait for it, and I appreciate it. And, yeah, that absolutely was a good build-up to that. I got to tell you, the whole Messiah storyline is just – it's just great. I mean – coming, how he came out, you know, in this robe-like. You know, I mean, he really, I love it. He's really trying to take this personification of the true Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I mean, the whole build up to that was really good. So it's kind of cool how that ended. Well, let's play something I think King Lucky would really enjoy. And it's almost kind of like fantasy booking. But I want you to choose just one match tonight, now that you know how it ended. Unless you know, you have some sort of crystal ball or you already have some inside connections to know how the next match or battle or storyline is about to begin with whomever. I want you to pick a match of the winner of tonight and tell me where do you want to see the next feud be, you know, who you want to see the next feud with the next storyline, you know, happen based on tonight's winner. So, you know, for some reason, if you chose, you know, Charlotte tonight, you picked that match. Maybe you're saying what you would like to see starting on, I guess, NXT Wednesday is a beef between her and Bel Air. You know, that would be a great match or feud to start. So I'm going to say that. Just pick a whoever won tonight, and who would you like to see the first feud to start off, starting the what I like to think of as the new season of WWE wrestling. And I'll start with you, King Lucky.
Huh. Jesus Christ. I mean, there's a lot to. I mean, there's a lot that you could do.
Maybe you could start with Drew. Where would you want to see Drew then? So, where would you like for him to call out on Monday?
I think Drew and Brock are not done. I don't think that's over yet. I will tell you, if we are fantasy booking,
okay,
maybe not for right now, but for SummerSlam, I'd like to see your two champions face off. That is, if Braun Strowman is still champion, and then versus Drew McIntyre. So Smarcavelli predicts that match.
So you took that all the way to the SummerSlam. Okay, so you're saying then, so starting tomorrow, you would want to see a build up for those two if they both would be champions for SummerSlam.
No, because I still think that Brock and Drew aren't finished yet. So that will immediately take place tomorrow. The question is who will be the challenger for Braun Strowman? So that's where I would start. And I don't know if I wouldn't do King Corbin.
Okay, King Corbin.
So you're saying you would do King Corbin?
What? No. No. I realize King Corbin
this is being recorded, right? People are going to have that soundbite from you forever.
Yeah. That doesn't matter. I know what my intention was. But maybe that's where I go.
Did you say intention or consent?
Yeah, whatever.
But what are you... Okay, so you're saying King... So what are you saying King Corbin would go from now, from Friday night? Where would you want to see him go from this point?
I'd like to see him and Braun Strowman.
Oh, him and Braun. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Sin City Steve, what would you like to see if you could play writer now? What wrestler you would say I would like to start something with?
Well, I more than anything, I want to sit back and watch what they're going to do between Sasha and Bayley. I really think that. You know, everybody thought that the turn was going to happen tonight.
Yeah.
So yeah. When the turn eventually happens, mm-hmm. it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And, it'll just be good TV. Hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. I love when they do that. You know, when everyone believed this would be the night and they just go, nope, we're not going to give them that. Simon Street.
Damn it, Sin City Steve, you took the one I wanted. But I'm going to add one to it.
Sasha and Bayley, I think what's going to happen if I'm fantasy booking is I think Sasha is going to let Bayley hang herself with her own rope and let her own demons and paranoia make it. And we've seen this done before with other people to where she's waiting for the turn. Now Bayley, I think, is waiting for the turn. And Sasha's not going to do it. Sasha's going to be like, it's all about friendship. I got your back, even when you did me dirty, and I got the women's right, and you just looked at me
Slow down, man. What? Tell me a little bit more about this, how she did her dirty.
How she did her dirty? She did her dirty because when she got hit with the women's right by Lacey Evans,
You missed my point, brother. I want to hear how she did her dirty.
Well, when it comes to anything Sasha Banks, that is one lady I will never speak dirty about. But I will say this, getting back to my theory, I think that what's going to happen is Bayley's just going to snap and she's going to turn on Sasha, thus making Sasha, take the belt from her. That's if I'm fantasy booking.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve. You took the one I wanted. But that's because me and you think alike.
Oh.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Matt Michaels.
I really actually want to see where it goes between New Day and the Usos.
New Day and the Usos.
Yep. Because that's how they ended that ladder match with...
Oh, right, yeah.
Morrison crashing down off those ladders onto a ladder, which is crazy as fuck.
Yeah.
But the two of them, Kofi and...
Jimmy
up there together holding the thing. They started kind of looking at each other, and then Jimmy kind of, pulled away. So it was a good little setup where maybe we finally see one of these teams go heel for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then it ain't going to be New Day.
True. Well, guys, we pretty much come up to an hour of the show. So.
Whoa.
Okay, go
ahead.
You're
not going to get let off the hook that easy, bro. Hold up. We got to know what your rating of the show was.
My rating of the show.
Yeah, dude. You don't get to just ask us the questions, man.
Well, I am. I'm the host. I just ask. I just direct the traffic, But I'll give it to you.
Yeah, stop deflecting. Give us an answer, man.
I would give it a B plus as well.
Okay.
I would give it a B plus as well. And, look, for what it was good entertainment, but just know that I will still stick to, what I believe, and I'm not going to move from that it just shouldn't happen at all.
Yeah.
But overall, hey.
Really?
Sorry.
Come on.
Hey, if you want to come on the Four Corner Buckle and take that on, that's very, we can do that. But as of right now, I'll just leave it as what it is. You got your B, so go run off and graduate, okay?
Let me ask you this then, too.
Sure.
What was your favorite match of the night? Let's go night one, night two.
Night one, I really...
Jesus, couldn't you have done this earlier, Lucky?
No, because I wanted to see if you was going back and
do the whole goddamn show over? Come on.
We're wrapping up, man.
I would say that I enjoy the tag team titles for night one. That was actually one of my favorites. And then tonight, I would say Edge and Orton. I would say that was pretty entertaining. But but yeah, absolutely. Let me ask y'all this right quick. I know everything. Yeah, this is totally just about Mania, but did AEW do anything Wednesday? Did they do anything?
They broadcast their show.
Okay. Do anybody want to talk anything about that? You know, this, is anything you want to say about that for this week? Because I didn't watch it, so I don't know if they were still, you know, doing what they doing at an outside amphitheater where they cut off and put in the streets. So I don't know. What went down? Anybody want to say anything about that show? No? Okay. Well, it was all about Mania
here,
then.
I'm just
okay.
Sitting here shaking my fucking head at you.
Look, yeah. Hey,
they actually had a good show.
Look, I'll be honest with you. I actually, you know, I watch AEW weekly, but I didn't watch it this past week. It just got really, really, really busy. So, I don't know what took place, but feel free to say what you liked or disliked, or did you enjoy the show at all? I mean, what stood out?
No, it was a good show.
Okay,
they had a unique setup, which was, you know, compacted down a little bit. But I thought it was a good show overall. The first match, which seemed like it was for something like a title or something, but Kenny Omega versus Trent got rave reviews. And I thought it was a hell of a match. There was no storyline connected to it or anything like that, but the match definitely was a great match for a TV. Elsewhere, you had Lance Archer make his TV debut.
Oh, he did. Okay. How'd that go?
Yeah. That was really good. I mean, it was David versus Goliath. They had him versus Marco Stunt, which I don't know if that would have been his first match for me, but, you know, he's, you know, Stunt sold everything and, you know, he ended up throwing him out into the audience.
Oh, boy.
Everybody catching him. Yeah. Then you had your boy, the Exalted One.
Oh, okay.
Brody Lee.
Yes. Yeah.
He did another.
Oh,
did he? Did he barely win?
No.
Okay.
Another stupid ass fucking promo that's killing this character.
Oh, for real?
I'll be honest with you. I would have did it a little bit different. Just the way they're kind of working this thing. His guys were wrestling, and then they lost, and he came down at the end, which. To me, I would have did it completely different. I would have had him come out with them, him, you know, be visually critiquing the match without saying a whole lot is the way I would have did it. But, yeah, he powerbombed one of his guys at the end of the match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so overall, it was a good show. But, yeah, there's just some things that I would have done a little bit differently there. But, you know, I still like the show overall.
Okay. Good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. We will continue to see what's going on. And, you know, we need to see, I'm pretty sure, I mean, let me ask you all this, because I haven't been keeping up with some of the others. Is ROH and Impact Wrestling, are they still taping also?
No, they're just flushing out the tapings that they had.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're... And AEW is allegedly got 2 months in the can.
Oh, okay.
It's allegedly. I don't know if that's for sure. The WWE, I don't know what the tapings are going to look like because of the fact that they're technically on quarantine down there.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, I was shocked that they actually did a promo for Money in the Bank, considering the uncertainty. But they must have had, you know, some good feedback off of the call with the president the other day that would give them the hope that they could still run shows. So that was a little surprising. I'm surprised nobody brought up this spot from WrestleMania with Randy Orton and Edge, where he wrapped the rope around his neck a la Chris Benoit.
And that's because no one thought of it, you sick fuck. Jesus, dude. That's fucked.
Oh, man. Well, that shut you down right there, huh?
Not really, but
that's where we end the show. Right there.
All right, well, hey, look.
Well, speaking of that, before we wrap up, because I'm not...
Fuck, dude.
Yes. Fuck. Keep going.
Jesus. You know what the problem is? This is what happens when we allow King Lucky to call himself Smarkavelli.
Yes. I mean,
obviously, he won't stay dead, so let's just let him keep going.
That's right. I love it, bro. Gosh. All right. The last point that Smarkavelli wanted to make was on Dark Side of the Ring. Watch the episode with New Jack. It is fucking crazy, frightening, and delightful all at once. There you go.
I used to see New Jack perform out in L.A. I think he did shows with, I think it was called XBW.
Was it in an alley somewhere?
Yeah,
XBW. They used to run these.
XBW. He did some stuff there.
Yeah. He used to come with this shopping cart just full of all types of just crazy things, you know, that all of them would get used, you know.
Hey, but Impact, real talk. Remember I said a long time ago, that's one dude that I would not want to mess with at all. He just looked like he dangerous inside the ring and outside the ring.
Yeah,
I agree. He just looked like a dangerous man, just dangerous.
Hey, I'm sure he has a story, man. Everyone has one, right? So, look, final thoughts, and we're out of here. King Lucky, now you can say what you want to say, man.
Smarkavelli.
Smarkavelli? All right. Sin City, any final thoughts, man?
Just stay safe, guys.
Yeah.
Don't go out unless you absolutely have to. Make sure that you stay 6 feet away from typically everybody else.
Yeah.
Just you never can be too safe. So just do your thing. But I don't want to see all of our listeners have anything happen to them, or any of our listeners have anything happen to them. So it's just take care of yourselves, guys.
Yeah, you know, and just to piggyback on that, I know it gets bored.
Don't piggyback.
Okay.
Social distancing.
That's
very
true.
Bad to piggyback.
That's right. I know it gets a little boring at home, but don't feel that you just have to get out and go to Walmart or Home Depot or whatever the places that are open that are considered essentials just to be out. Just if you don't have to, just at most, just go out your backyard, your front yard, maybe, you know, walk around your neighborhood if you need that. And yeah, just come back inside. But don't be some of these people that just, they just feel they have to be out. You know, look, I still work and I'm in essential places, and some of the things you see in their carts are not essential needs. And, you know, and just walking about and taking up space, it just doesn't make any sense. So I agree with that, what you're saying, Sin City, definitely. They're even claiming this is going to be a very tough and rough week. So as much as you can, social distancing is important. Simon Street, man, final words.
You know, kind of to go along the lines of Sin City Steve, you know, definitely try and, you know, social distance yourself, obviously continue to do so. Again, the bigger picture, I think we've said this week in and week out, it's you can catch this virus. It's not what you touch. It's just you. It could be you. And that's the thing that's scary. And so at the end of the day, you know, don't go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the four walls that your ass is used to. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Be good. No doubt. Matt Michaels.
Yeah. That's pretty much it, man. Everything is fried. Every single brain cell, man, it's fried because there's nothing to do.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, why don't we do something different next week? We'll talk about it when we get a chance, but maybe we can discuss different shows and everything that we watch along with wrestling, like on Netflix and everything. I know everyone is still on this whole Tiger King kick, so maybe if you haven't seen that yet, you can jump on that and we can have our discussions a little bit on that. Have a little bit of entertainment on what we found fun or worth watching or worth checking out. We'll do that on our next show next week so we can...
Hey, Daryl. I'd like to sing a song real quick.
Oh, boy.
I wake up and people are still knocking me down.
With that...
Tiger King is the shit. That dude should have been a WWE personality like back in the 80s. That shit is amazing. That's all
hey,
I'm telling you.
We'll talk about it next week, all right? With that, you all stay safe and we will talk to you next week. Peace.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.